The Adonis Audio Experience. Today I share an episode with someone who's probably my biggest fan, and that's my sister, Jasmine. She shares her knowledge in public health, in having her master's in public health, and also her experience in healthcare. We talk about some of the challenges that we face in this social distancing world, and also having a positive outlook and how we can move forward and deal with these trying times. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and without further ado, here you go. Everyone, welcome to the Adonis Audio Experience. I'm here with my baby sis, Jasmine. I mean, it's so much fun to have you on the show. Isn't this fun?
It is fun. It's a little nerve-wracking, but I'm happy to be on.
Oh my God, awesome. So, you know, I was actually going to explain my Whole Foods experience just starting off the episode, and then literally you call. And I got to tell you a funny story, Jazz. I actually went to Whole Foods, and I was there at 8 o'clock this morning. There was a line of 20, 30 people deep already. So as I get to the line, I got my headphones on. I'm listening to podcasts and, you know, getting into my zone, just waiting. Mm-hmm. Then a guy starts screaming at me from his car. He's like, hey, you. And I'm just like, what? And he's like, hey, they're not letting anybody in. And right?
And, oh my goodness.
And I'm just like, okay. You know, what's like me out of all people, there's 30.
Like, what's the context?
Right. There's 30 people in line and I'm the one that he wants to give a heads up to. So, you know, I'm already paranoid. Everyone's got a mask on. You know, I feel like I'm in a movie and
yes.
Yeah, and this guy's screaming at me like, hey, you, they're not letting anybody in till 9 o'clock unless you're 60 years old, so it's not even worth it. And I'm, you know, and eventually, it's like, I take my headphones off, I try to give him some of my attention, I'm trying to be polite. And after a certain while, I look at him, and I'm just like, hey, dude, I'm going to have to keep it moving, man. Thanks again, though. And I'm literally just waiting there, and within 10 minutes... this dude ends up peeling out of the driveway and just gets out of there. Mind you, he peels out while there's, you know, 70-year-olds trying to cross through Whole Foods.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What a jerk.
Oh, he was a complete jerk. He was a maniac. Like, it's like these people can't be told no to. He had this A-type personality, can't be told no to. And guess what, buddy? You got told no to. And, you know, funny thing that happened right at 9 o'clock. Yeah, I waited 45 minutes to an hour. But right at 9 o'clock, I was one of the first ones in. And
exactly.
There was 40 people behind me as I got in. So ended up saving time anyway. But what was your experience? I mean, getting out of the house was like, I mean, how long have you been in quarantine?
So I've been in quarantine since the 10th, which was my birthday. And literally that's the first day I stayed home and I haven't been back to work. Well, in the city, luckily I'm able to work from home. But yeah, coming out today, since the 10th, I've probably gone out a total of 3 or 4 times. So it's very seldom that I'm going out to follow, like, you know, the stay at home and social distancing rules that they put in place. But, you know, I needed groceries this morning, so I went out. And exactly what you just stated, it was kind of like a movie. So many people with masks. I almost felt like, oh, wait, I don't know if I should be out. And I almost wanted to turn back. I got a little bit anxious, I have to admit.
Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny being, I mean, first off, starting quarantine on your birthday. Holy shit. I mean, it's crazy, right? And, you know, and it's funny, I started with a new company and literally my first week with the company, it's like, great. Oh, my God. I love headquarters. It's amazing. And then the very second week, it's like, hey, we're all in quarantine. So we're all going to have to go home and work from home. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, this is a new normal. But look, life is all about adjustments. And we just have to make them. So right now I've been practicing a lot of gratitude. I've been kind of, you know, obviously doing my reading. I am trying to teeter back a little bit on the news because I could get a little news crazy. And I would say one of the other benefits is that I am cooking more. So instead of spending a whole lot of time eating out, I'm cooking more. So it just means overall, I guess I'm making myself healthier. I don't know if you found that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail. I think a lot of my coworkers, which has been really beneficial, are very health conscious as well and into fitness. So we've been encouraging each other and posting like free workout classes online. Or one of our coworkers just got her teaching license or certification for to become a yoga instructor. And she did a 15-minute yoga session for us on Zoom last week, which was amazing. And even myself, like me and my partner, we decided to invest and get an exercise bike because, you know, it's not recommended to go out. You can't go to the gym. And it's like, I still need to work out. And most people who are working from home, we're not working those 8-hour days. We're working 10, 12-hour days. Now I can exercise and work a little bit.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Working from home, you work more. There's more to do. I mean, you're home. You have nowhere to go. Everyone knows, hey, this person ain't got nothing to do. They're going to be home. So we got a lot of stuff for you to do.
Yes. But I also will say, like you said, you have to see the silver lining, you know, and look for activities.
For sure.
We even have like an art challenge that we're doing where people should post like pictures or doodles that they're doing to like be creative and get out of that mindset of like, oh yeah, all I'm doing is working, eating, and sleeping in the same atmosphere and same space. You know, you need to switch it up and come up with your, like you said, new normal.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's tough in the beginning, but you have to adapt.
Yeah, no, you know, speaking to that, I actually rearranged like my little office setup and moved the desk so it's more symmetrical with the room and, you know, changed the lighting. I bought an extra plant just to get, you know, some change, just to switch things up. So obviously I'm re-energized when I do that too. It's crazy how psychologically that works.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to tell you, I forgot to tell you, when I did go out, because you just told me your story about how that guy was yelling at you, I actually had an opposite experience and had like a really nice encounter with a stranger when I went to Stop and Shop.
Oh, wow.
I went there and I realized they ran out of wipes, you know, to wipe down the carts. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And my partner was about to touch the cart. I'm like, no, don't touch the cart. Like, we need a wipe. And we're looking for one. And this woman who's cleaning down her cart, she's like, oh, I don't think there's any more. And we're like, oh no, like, I don't know if we should actually shop here. You know, that thought crossed my mind just for not having a wipe. And she literally said, oh, if you want, I brought my own and I have one if you'd like to use it. And mind you, this wasn't like a big, you know, container or bucket. It was one of those like 10 wipes that come in a packet. And she sacrificed one of those for me and my partner to just wipe down her cart.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about selflessness.
It's kind of, it's like, you know, there's a lot of crazy things happening, but then to have that type of encounter, it's like, okay, there are still good people and some people are trying to stay sane and show that there's still kindness in the world.
Yeah, no, that act of selflessness is amazing. It's funny, I actually experienced that while I was finally in the store. You know, there were people who were very kind and gracious and self-serving, obviously. But you know, switching gears a little bit, obviously I got to watch a little bit of the news. And
oh, yes.
You know, I'm a news junkie and basically, and you are too, to a point, right? I mean, you know, you stay engaged and, you know, it's interesting how recently we talked about how Bill Gates stepped down from the board of directors for Microsoft, right? That was a few weeks ago. You know, Bill Gates has been involved in some massive vaccine campaigns overseas. He's been part of, you know, some very,
very active right now. Absolutely.
Yeah. And right now, he's more active than ever. And one of the things that he's actually recommending that was talked about publicly is microchipping people who have not had their vaccines, or microchipping people in general. That way you can track who's had vaccines, who haven't. And he's also been advocating to completely shut down society, a complete shutdown, meaning not even leave your homes, nothing, no shopping, no Whole Food extravaganza experiences. And that, my head exploded when I heard all that news.
You know what? I've heard that and it did make my head explode, but I think because in school I was a public health major and like I took some of these epidemiology courses where it talked about, you know, a possible epidemic or pandemics around the world. And honestly, that's exactly what we should have done at the start of this. And I think there's a lot, you know, Bill Gates and other people have advocated for this. It's the whole shutdown for everyone, society shutdown, should have has been in the beginning, at least in my opinion, from the reports that I've seen, because this would have been a lot more controlled if we did a complete shutdown for 2 weeks rather than, oh, by city or by state. Or right now, even though there's government officials urging people to stay home, there's other states like, you know, Florida, they're like, oh no, it's still business as usual. Is the citizen supposed to really, you know, believe and understand, and like, what is the right thing to do at this time? And right now it is following like stay at home, social distancing. And it is kind of scary to think about, hey, 2 more weeks or a month of this, but until this is over, you know, we have to take all necessary precautions, because you have to think about what if we don't do anything, if we continue on this path.
I definitely do not disagree with that. The parts that make me a little concerned with Bill Gates in particular is that he's got a vested interest in the production of vaccines. And
that is true.
You know, and all those kind of things. So I'm like, you know what? I don't disagree in the social distancing and all those kind of things. But I'm still a little worried that we're going to skip some steps in the approval process and the due diligence that it takes to create kind of nationalized procedures because of this emergency. So because of an emergency now, we're just going to panic and rush into, you know, potentially violating people's rights and just creating government that's more intrusive versus to representative of the people. And then we're just going to have kind of like this government state where we have to comply. And there's parts of China now that, you know, they're blocking off like WeChat messages that family members are having with each other that are victims from the coronavirus that are communicating with each other. They're not able to do so in China. And I don't want to be part of that society either, right?
No. And that's the thing. Like, I agree with the social distancing, but to go back to like the original statement about him thinking about microchipping people, that is scary, because I think there's a lot that comes with that. Now that we're in 2020, how many movies have we all seen where, you know, people get microchips, or we say like, oh, technology is going to take over. So that's the mindset and like the notation. So even if this is a good thing, nobody thinks it is, because we've already been, you know, kind of taught or influenced by the media or like movies like, oh, no, this will always end bad.
Oh, yeah. So, no, for sure. What was that Tom Cruise movie where the Minority Report, where these precogs predicted whether someone would commit a crime or not, and a ball would come out, and they didn't have microchips, but what they did have was complete surveillance. So everything had a camera with a retina scanner, and everyone's identity was pretty much in a centralized system. So, you know, if you remember or not, when the ball dropped, you know, as soon as the precogs make a prediction of who's going to commit a crime, this ball is generated with a name on it. And he was doing his searching of new potential pre-crime, you know, people, and his name popped up. And that's when he just freaked out. And he literally escaped out of the place. And one of the things he had to do was literally swap out his eyeballs. Because he didn't want to get scanned going into places, because he knew he was innocent, or at least he felt that he was innocent. and had no intentions of committing a crime, but yet he had to go through all this just to prove that the system was rigged, that the system wasn't working. And it's funny how that movie is based on just a central powerful source influencing a system on a nation abroad, and somebody, that one person, comes through in identifying or exploiting to a certain extent that this system is broken. And I feel like there's parts of Bill Gates that wants to do good for the world. But I feel like there's other parts of Bill Gates that is a little dangerous because he wants to do it by any means necessary because he knows better than we do what's good for us. And
well, that's I think you're getting to that point exactly. Well, all the that you just mentioned, we've seen again in movies, we've seen that happen. And Bill Gates, yes, he's done a lot of good and he's a very smart man. But exactly what you said, is that unknown? Is that too far? Like, are you trying to really just control people at that point?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, the racial biases that come along with that, because most of it, like when you're coming up with this technology, it's based on algorithms. And if you're using algorithms, it's based on statistics. And if you're basing it on statistics, of course, it's going to be skewed because in certain populations, there's, you know, whether you're a minority or if you're low income housing or something like that, that could determine some of those, you know, some of those things that you're going to need for that type of technology to assess people. And that's where you're like, okay, this is not okay. You know, you're not even looking at the person, you're looking at the circumstances around them.
Yeah. No, that's so true. And also the statistics, it's only as good as the source that it's coming from. If that source is not reliable, statistics mean nothing. Like,
exactly.
How else can you explain that the death rates in Italy are nowhere compared to the death rates in the United States or even China? And also, with the way that China has been controlling the news coming out of Wuhan and out of China as a whole, there is just no way that you're going to tell me that their numbers being represented are entirely accurate.
Exactly.
Yeah, if they wanted accurate representation, then why not let the people speak? Why not let social media be more of an open source platform versus to a closed government monitored platform? And that's why I think this fear thing is getting a little much. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, exactly. You saw the Dave Chappelle special I told you about, the Mark Twain Award last night, right?
Yes.
Where his speech at the end was like, you know, I know some people get offended, but I'm trying to, something along the lines of that he's trying to speak radically out so that his children have that same choice and ability in the future and his grandkids.
Yes.
And that's exactly what is happening. You know, people are being told to shut up or like, don't tell the truth. Things like that, don't cross this line, or it's like, oh, it's for the good of the country, or the good of the people. But no, you have to speak out. You have to speak your truth, because if not, eventually we won't be able to.
Yeah.
At all.
No, and we're slowly taking that away with too much public shaming. I feel like, you know, not to get into the weeds, but a lot of that is happening. And I've been watching these daily Trump breakdowns, right? And, you know, Trump, you know, for what it's worth, he's at least providing me entertainment during this crisis. It's damn hilarious when he's comparing his ratings to The Bachelor and to football and this and that. And nobody's playing sports, you know? Like,
I mean, you know, The Apprentice, you know, he's back on The Apprentice. He's like, I need to have my ratings up.
He's back on the show. Yeah, he thinks he's on The Apprentice. He really does. And the CDC this week comes out and says, listen, we strongly recommend that everybody wears masks. And two parts to that, it's like, all right, CDC, you're kind of late again to the party because everyone was doing that a month ago. You said not to do it. Now that you're just like, oh, wow, so many more people are infected, now you're saying to do it. So it's like, make up your mind, CDC. And it was only within a 4-week span. So obviously, there's a break in communication and where the information's coming from on their end.
Yes, and it's kind of sad to hear and see because, again, of coming from a public health background, the CDC is held in such a high regard, and obviously it still is, but it's also with, you know, the politics with the different administrations, you don't know exactly what you just said, like where this information is really coming from, where's the source, like do we actually have someone that's competent that knows what they're doing and is giving right information, you know, or is everybody just really scared and doesn't know what to do and they don't want to say that, so they're just late to everything.
Yeah, and the other part is that, and you know, we're just human beings right at the ground level, right? We're not making these high level decisions, but it's funny how Trump thinks like people at this ground level, or at least that's how he shows that he's making those kind of decisions. And what I mean by that is that they asked him, hey, are you going to wear a mask? He's like, no, I'm not wearing a mask. And that's what makes it funny, because he's just like, hey, listen, the CDC is recommending, it's a recommendation, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to wear a mask. I'm not wearing a mask. And obviously, the liberal media is hyping it up a little bit because they've cut off invitations to dignitaries, presidents and kings and all this and that to the White House weeks ago. So it's not like Trump's meeting people overseas that are like exposed potentially, but it's just funny how they're making such a big deal that he doesn't want to wear a mask. And I think he enjoys playing into that. I think he's having fun with that too.
I think that, you know what, I think you're right. I think there's two sides, though. I think he's definitely having fun, but I think my other side of it is he's probably thinking, if I start wearing a mask, that's going to cause, in a way, more panic for the people who do listen to him and, you know, safe.
Sure.
And two, it's going to make him look weak.
That's
true.
And
if you look about it, yes, we're being honest with numbers, but he's not, you know, he's also looking at these other countries that are like, oh, hiding some of like their numbers. And he's like, no, I'm not, I'm going to be honest, but I'm not going to wear a mask and I'm going to still like come off or try to come off as a strong leader. Now, again, I'm not trying to defend Trump, but like, that's also my thinking, you know, it's probably, he's like, I need to still be strong in all of this.
Sure. You know what? I think that's an excellent point. There's a lot of posturing. It's a sign of strength. And I can definitely see that. And
It's perception.
It is. It's all about the perception. And there's a new hashtag that I found out about. It's hashtag film your hospital. So everyone, if you get on Twitter, go to hashtag film your hospital. And there's links and posts from, I mean, some are a few days ago, some are not from like yesterday, but some are like 5 days ago, 3 days ago. So they're fairly recent, but it's showing how these hospitals are not as packed as people believe. Now, that's not to say that there's other hospitals that are just completely stacked, you know, bereft of resources and just, you know, in dire need of support. I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but some of these videos that you see on hashtag film your hospital are in New York, are in New Rochelle, and there's no lines in the admissions rooms. There's no lines in the, I mean, empty emergency rooms, rooms, empty parking lots, no one in the parking lots. So it's like, if we're in this war zone, where's the panic? Like, where are the people jamming into the hospital like an episode of The Walking Dead? Like, where is that happening?
No, that is true. That is very true. And I think the same way, because, I mean, today I actually, you know, drove by Norwalk Hospital and I didn't see that. And, you know, it just depends what you're seeing out there, and you don't want to create more panic or chaos. And it's like you said, it's not to say that this isn't happening in some hospitals, but it might not be there all around, because you also have to use almost common sense. Like, as a citizen, if I got sick, the last place I want to go as a, you know, relatively young person is the hospital, because knowing what I know about hospitals, you can get even more sick, you know, like depending on what's out there. So for me, when they're talking about these overcrowded hospitals, what I think of is like our background in healthcare when we were working nursing home areas.
That's
what I think is being overpacked, is really the nursing homes. And like, they're the ones sending people to the hospital. It's not people sending themselves and you know, going into lines into the emergency room. It's people being sent there.
Yeah. No, that, you know what? That's another fair point. There is people in the nursing homes. There is a lack of support. I think that that's the story people are not talking about, is managing the sickest of the sick and a very frail population that is not getting much attention by the media. A lot of it is just centered around these big giant hospital groups, but it's these local nursing homes that are getting one or two or three or four cases that, because they're on the same floor and they're only getting tended to by just a handful of nurses and CNAs and other staff in between, that the spread of virus is very easy in that scenario, especially with lack of supplies and physical personnel.
And we've both been in that time in nursing homes. Like, if somebody even just gets the flu, one person, we're almost shut down. You know, like they do these like no visitors. So I can only imagine. And then we, you know, I empathize for these people who have families and they are sick and they can't see them and they have to rely on, like, you know, computers or screens if they have that available, or if they have a CNA or a nurse that isn't overworked and has 10 other patients that can, you know, FaceTime with their loved one.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I will say that even with the projections, like we've talked about, projections are only as good as the source of the information. And there's been projections that there's going to be 500,000 people dead. Now there's projections that it's more like 20,000 people dead from this. So it's like, okay, you know, obviously there's a lot of unknowns here, so we shouldn't just be flying blind and going to the beach and playing volleyball and this, that, and the other. But there's another component that's like, hey, listen, we need to chill out. We need to, maybe create less exposure, but there is a realization that we don't really know what's going to happen, and coronaviruses are not new. Coronaviruses have been coming out for the last couple decades. We're just now coming to the realization from a mainstream media standpoint that coronaviruses are absolutely deadly. But like in an episode that I recorded on the first Corona and Lies episode, I talk about the can of Lysol, saying that the can of Lysol can protect you from human coronavirus. So obviously, coronaviruses have been out there for a while. And my point is that we have to learn how to live with this and to get through society knowing that there's coronaviruses out there, and we still have to continue to move on to live.
Absolutely. And I think that's another concern, again, going back to just like my public health brain, is like, after a while, yes, we have to protect ourselves, but also another public health crisis is going to come about with this, and it's depression. You know, people are cooped up in their homes and they don't know what to do, you know? Like, luckily we do have technology, but there's people stuck in New York in these shoebox apartments that are not meant to be lived in for 3 weeks at a time, or a month or two months with nothing else.
It's like being in a cell. It's literally being in a cell, very institutionalized. It is not conducive for a healthy environment when you're in an apartment or in a studio that's, you know, 20 by 20. It's like, whoa. And New York has a lot of that. I know people in Connecticut are like, no way. Yes,
and it's true.
Faux show.
My coworkers who literally they're on Zooms and they're like, "Sorry, my bed is literally 6 inches away from me."
Yeah,
and that's all they have.
It's crazy, and you know, so that is true. The public health concern is for depression. I think it's huge. I think we're at the very beginning of seeing what the ramifications of a complete shutdown are. We're trying to stay ahead of the curve of the financial aspect of it by releasing these bailouts and making sure that people are receiving consistent checks every week, because a lot of people have been, you know, we're talking about potentially 30 million people not having a job when all this is said and done. And those numbers might be even larger than that. It might be 50, 60 million people. Mm-hmm. And
that's so true.
Yeah, and unemployment has experienced a spike where in 1 week they had like 6 million people enter the unemployment, new unemployment. And, you know, I may need a fact check on this, but allegedly from the Great Recession that happened in 2008, in a 2 year window, the largest number of unemployment in a 2 year window, I think they were saying, is 7 million. And again, you know, check those facts, but it gives perspective to understand the magnitude of this shutdown.
What's going on?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. What we did in 1 week is compared to maybe 1 or 2 years in the Great Recession. So so looking forward now, we don't know what's that going to do to people psychologically. We don't know how people are going to react on a ground level. We don't know how domestic violence and abuse is going to turn out with people who are not used to seeing each other this many hours. There's couples that are probably sick of each other.
I have literally, between me and Jocelyn talking, we have talked about our friends reaching out and saying, oh, I think I'm breaking up with my partner. And it's because the stress is real right now. You know, you're not used to it. And let's say you're in one of those New York City apartments. Guess what? Wow. You have nowhere to go. You're going to see the same person. You're going to work. If you're working remotely, even, you know, you have two meetings at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, all these things come into play. And then you start to see bad habits. How about your partner doesn't like to shower all the time? Or what if they don't like to pick up after they eat? You know, those things are going to get to you if it's day in, day out for hours on end.
Wow. Yeah. Well, some of us are going to have to start practicing some yoga and some, some mind, body,
and
spirit.
Lots of laughter, I think. You know, I think out of all this, what we need to do is start laughing, not taking things so serious. We know things are serious, you know? Yeah. We know people are scared. We know this is a reality, but you have to have fun. You have to make light of what you can and just keep your day going.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Well, Jazz, thank you. Yes. This is my sister,
this is awesome.
Jasmine, joining me on the Adonis Audio Experience. I mean, this is amazing. Yes. I've been wanting for us to do a show for quite some time. So thank you for lending your knowledge in public health and also your experience in the healthcare sector. It is much appreciated. I'm sure a lot of people are going to benefit from today's episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And hopefully we do this again soon.
All right. Peace out, everybody. Okay.
Bye.